I just wanted to give a little plug to last weekend. Actually, can you believe that? Last weekend, we were at the Ark. If you've never been to the Ark, go. I really think it's just a wonderful experience all. It's just kind of feeling how, you know, the scale of it all, and all, but it's just, I don't know, just remembering God and all he's done and his promises, his faithfulness and all of that. So this is my Ark cup. I just had to show that to you because it's kind of my souvenir. I need to take a drink. Thank you. Wonderful to be with you here today, this morning. You know, outside, I was just coming in, unlocking the door, and I felt a breeze. I was going, oh, what kind of a breeze is it, you know? But it was nice and warm. I go, I feel like back in California. See, in September, it can get up to 100 degrees in Cal, you know? So I miss those days where you get hit by a wind, and your face just dries up, and you just sweat and all that stuff. It's just so much fun. You guys don't know what you're missing. I still don't understand. I might not ever. But praise the Lord for his word. Even though I might not understand all of it, but I just praise the Lord for what he reveals, the secrets he reveals. Remember, it's him who reveals those secrets to us. The knowledge, all that knowledge and wisdom is hidden in, like, treasure in Jesus. You know, only he can unlock it for us. We can hit this book and look at every word and all that stuff. They're our own limited wisdom and knowledge. And we can only get so far. But when we allow Jesus to speak through us and just in us and just show us things, and get soft-hearted, get humble, I tell you, it's the treasures just keep coming, no matter how often you read his word. You know, so I just want to remind you of that. It is a treasure. It's an honor. You know, reading this Brother Andrew book, you know, now this was back in the 50s, and the Iron Curtain and the communist countries, they weren't allowed to have Bibles and all that stuff. But, you know, just the treasure that the Bible was to, whenever anybody had one, it was like gold, more than gold to them. So we have this freedom to read it, to come together, to worship. You know, it's just something I don't think I really grasp that well, but I think we have to really give praise and thanks to the Lord for it and use it to be a blessing to those countries. Even today, there's a lot of countries that do not want the Bible. They do not want Christians meeting. So we really have to get behind them in prayer. And Brother Andrew, one thing he did say when he visited these people, how glad they were that he came. He was just a Dutch guy, you know. He didn't even have a name. They didn't even know who he was, really. He's just coming to visit. But his very presence gave great encouragement. And that's why Jesus says in his word in Hebrews, it says, you know, you got to come together. We got to meet together. And that's what we're doing today. We're honoring him and meeting together. I don't know about you today. I've had a few instances where I've met a guy like this. Maybe the car, you know, the wheels kind of roll. And they kind of roll quickly sometimes. And, you know, it's kind of, you know, and I kind of make up my own speed limit because I just say, hey, I'm going with the flow. There's no traffic, no elephants in Thailand. You know, you just had to watch out for the elephants and the water buffalo and the carts and whatever else they're throwing at us there. But, you know, they would just pull me over to the side. And the Thai police officer would come up and say, hey, you were speeding. I was going, huh? What? The road was free. There's empty. And they say, well, you owe me money. I'm going, you know, I work at this prison. You know, that was always my out card. You know, I always said, you know, I work at this prison, you know. And because they kind of all know one another and stuff like that. And when I say that, they just kind of go, oh, yeah, all right. And they just kind of go, all right, go ahead and go, you know. Except for down in Bangkok. Now, Bangkok was different. See, this was the country life. Bangkok, those guys are jaded. All right. And I wasn't even, I don't even think, I didn't even make much of a mistake. This guy pulls me over and goes, "You owe me money." I'm going, "Hey, I work at the prison." He's going, "I don't care. You owe me money." And I gave him money. Did I act? I gave him that. I gave him 1,000 baht that day. I did, didn't I? Did, you don't go to the station. 1,000 baht. That, you shouldn't have given that away. Because a thousand, you know, that's pretty big money there. So, but, you know, being written up could be a bad thing. You get written up on the pad of the police officer. You can also, it could be a good thing being written up, you know, like the Hollywood Walk of Fame, you know, I've been there and stuff of that. You know, Mickey Mouse, some of these other guys and stuff. So it's just, you know, there's good things and bad things. So we'll be looking at that today. Next, please. So, you know, we're going back into this. And Jesus, remember, Jesus sent out the 72. And these guys are supposed to go before them and before Jesus, because he's going to go behind them and he's going to start preaching about the good news, the kingdom of God. It's going to bring in. But, you know, he's looking, you know, people are saying, well, what kind of people are these 72? Well, they're just ordinary people. But God is, Jesus, he knows what he's looking for. He's looking for childlike faith, all right? Somebody that's going, "I'm ready, you know? I don't have to have this and that, you know? I don't have to have credentials or anything. I'm ready." That type of faith. So he's looking for what we call fast. We just say this because when we're looking for people who will be eventual leaders or great followers, they're going to be fast. They're going to be faithful, available, submissive, and teachable. You know, that's what these guys were at that time anyways. Next, please. Now, of course, humans, as we are, we tend to change like the wind blowing here and there. So sometimes we are faithful, and then all other seasons we're kind of falling on our face, right? But God is greater than all of that, so we praise him for that. And then, of course, our society, you know, we always, in our American society, independent and being dependent, you know, it's a struggle because, you know, like we raise up our kids to be independent, right? We want them to be able to make their own food, to drive, to get their own jobs, to live their own lives. But it's also a kind of a painful process too, isn't it? To let your children go. The empty nesters know that pretty well. You know, but you know, it's difficult to do that, but it's something we push. And then when you look about dependence, they kind of go, "Well, you know, don't be dependent." You know, there's kind of like there's something, you're weak, you know, you're not worth it, you're kind of weird if you're dependent. Now maybe these days a little bit more, you know, there's a little bit more dependency because, you know, just the way the society is, the house prices and things like that. There's a lot more family moving back in with their parents or grandparents, you know, to be able to absorb that expense so they can get, you know, they can launch out on their own. So, but still, dependence is kind of looked down upon. But for God's kingdom, dependence is critical. Without depending upon Christ, we're doing it in our own strength, and we already know how far that will carry us. Not very far. Not for what God has for his purposes and his kingdom. So he's looking for people who are dependent upon him and trusting in him. Next, please. Let's pray before we go on into this, Lord. Lord God, we come before you. Yes, thankful that we do have your word. Thankful that we can come together in your name. Thankful that we have you in our lives and that you do care about us. Yeah, we're ordinary people. We're really insignificant. But Lord, through your grace and your power, your love, we are your people, your children. And we are blessed to be a blessing to people around us. Bless this word, Father. May your name be glorified in it. May your Holy Spirit move amongst us, opening our hearts, teaching us things that we used to know, and teaching us things that we haven't ever known. Bless this time, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So when you look at this, it's the 72, you know, they must have had a day. You know, Jesus must have said, "Hey, you return to me. this hour, this place, you know, and they came there and they're probably all fired up, you know. You know, they returned, there was with joy, you know, with joy. You know, they're going to report, you know, it's not like, you know, they weren't going, oh, man, Jesus, that was just so hard. Oh, I had to eat frog's legs and nobody even listened to me. I got kicked out of 4 towns and I had to shake the dust off so many times my feet are hurting, that type of thing. No, they came back going, oh, yeah, Jesus. You know, all this, you know, when we're thinking about that joyful report, you know, these are things that are probably involved in that joy. You know, there's a winner. They were winners. You know, they experienced victory. They were invincible. Invincible. We're looking at that. And then there's 100% guarantee as well. So that we're looking at. Next, please. Oh, we'll go back to that one again. Who's that? No. What's that special thing that you do? What? Oh, do it again. We are. Well, you know, about Christians. We are, you know. You know, we are Christians. We're followers of Christ. Hallelujah. Now, for me, there should be a Trojan on a white horse, okay? That's my guys. All right. So I just want you to know that. But right now, I'll give you the honor and show this Nittany Lion. All right, next, please. Winners. So, you know, they probably came up with all these different experiences, right? And they probably, you know, this and this happened. Oh, man, I saw this guy. You know, he was healed. Or I told them good news and people going, oh, yeah, you know. But something just stuck in their minds more than anything else. They're top of their list. They came up to Jesus. They said, hey, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. You know, for some reason, they just thought that was so wow. Well, no wonder why. Because they know the enemy is powerful. They've been nagged and persecuted and all this troubled all their lives by the enemy. And now they're seeing that they have power, authority over him in Jesus' name. So that is a great victory. Next, please. You know, and I can see this. This is like what they would be in their hearts. And there's a great song with this. I would love one day to play that for you. It's a great Jewish song, just a praising of worship, of shouting, really. It's a shout aloud to the Lord, a shout to praise. You know, shouts of joy. And victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. So, you know, just God, you know, his power being displayed in and through their lives. Next, please. And of course, for you hunters, you probably like this. You know, for a victory for you during the season, this guy's got 47-point buck. I don't know if anybody's ever seen anything like that around here. I guess that was in Tennessee. So, but, you know, dreams are made of these, right? And when you get something, you feel victorious. You know, for me, playing ping pong, and I slammed the ball past Joy. Yeah! Yeah! And she has to run after it in the bushes or wherever we're playing. I'm just going, whoa, like that. You know, this is great. You know, just one point, I feel victorious, you know. See, that's the key to victory. You know, everything you get, rejoice. Rejoice in it because you might get slammed the next time. Next, please. So, and of course, you know, Jesus is a teacher, all right? And he sees that, oh, their focus is starting to get off, okay? You know, they're out there serving the Lord and his power and strength and all that, you know, in his name and his authority, but their focus is, you know, they're fighting a battle. They're going after Satan, and you know that's something, you know, he's not really needing them to do, because in verse 20 he kind of douses them a little bit, takes out their, you know, their fire a little bit, and he just said, you know, really matter of factly, he's just saying, I already know Satan's defeated. I saw him fall a long time ago. You know, you go back in Revelations, they talk about how, you know, all that happened. And I can go, let me just take a peek at that for you here. Revelations 12, here, what they have, 7 to 9. I'll read that for you. It says this, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon." And Michael's, you know, one of, you know, he's God's arch, he's his top angel. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. It was a great battle. Jesus already knows that he lost, you know, and you could see it even in Job. You know what happened in Job? You know, all these angels are reporting to God, and Satan even had a report to God. And Satan says, well, you know, this Job guy, you're so pleased with him, but you protect him, you know, give him to me. You know, let me do what I want with him. And he says, and God, he had to get God's permission to do that. So Jesus already knew this. He already knew that, you know, he says here, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He knew that. It's not a biggie for him. So he said he's trying to turn their eyes, you know, from that, not looking at the things that they're doing and all that. But what's more important, we'll look at that a little bit more in verse 22. Next, please. So the next part, so that, you know, you're winners, you know, you got those slams going, you got your buck and all that stuff, and you're just feeling great. You know, there's joy in that, joy in victory. If you have a victory in your life and you don't show joy, there's a problem with you. All right. There's something going on in you that's not quite right. Invincible. See, they were invincible because look at this. In 19, Jesus says this, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all, not just some, but all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Invincible. They can shoot all the arrows, they can throw all the stones and all that stuff. These guys were invincible. See, when Jesus puts us off on a mission, you're invincible. And people are saying, well, you know, you probably get sick and you know, and all that. But, you know, if God doesn't want you getting sick, if he doesn't want you running in trouble, you're not going to run into it. I have had many times, like even out in Thailand, going out into these rice fields, lots of problems, very dangerous driving in these small roads and stuff like that. And I didn't have one incident. 15 years. The only time I put a dent in my car was when we're backing up and I didn't see that little pole. You know, that was it. You know? It's amazing. The places we've been. How many times have we traveled overseas? We had to get in that plane going back and forth. How many? 15 or something like that? At least overseas. Eating food that we didn't know. I mean, we're eating street food and all that stuff. We didn't get sick, did we? Not from street food. You know, yeah, from Pizza Hut, maybe, yeah. It's a pepperoni, I think, that pepperoni or whatever it was there. But, you know, it's just, you know, God can do that. It doesn't mean that you're not going through some aches and pains, because I had some aches and pains and things like that there, too, but and other trials, of course, but you know, if he doesn't want anybody to lay a hand on you, sorry, nobody can do anything. And even if Satan eventually, you know, he thinks that he wins the victory and, you know, our bodies give out on us and we go to dust, you know what? We rise again anyways because we have Jesus. We have the ultimate victory. We are invincible in every way. That's our God. Next, please. But we just have to also be cautious, though, in our invincibility, all right? It's that we don't, you know, don't test God in it. We don't act foolish. We don't jump off a boat in the middle of the ocean in stormy weather and say, oh, Jesus is going to save me. You test the Lord, he might just say, that's it for you, boy. You're coming with me. you know, you're still with them. I mean, still, you know, you got the victory, but it's still probably not as way as you like to. I mean, even here, when Daniel and his friends were up against the king of Babylon, and he's saying, you bow to my statue, or you're in this furnace. And they said this, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. And then it went down a little bit further than that. There, let me see if I can find that. A little bit further than that, after they said that, it said, but even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Invincible. They're ready to die. They're ready to be burned up with their Lord, for their Lord. The Lord joined them in a furnace, right? And protected them. Invincible. Next, please. Psalm 91. You all know Psalm 91. I forget who was mentioning that Psalm 91 the other day, that a troop of soldiers were praying that. Oh, that was your sister, Joy, right? Viola. That a troop, I don't know what war it was, but they would memorize this and quote it every day, Psalm 91. And none of them got killed in that action until they stopped. And when they stopped going over this, remembering this verse, this psalm, and then they started having issues. You know, God, you know, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You know, you trust in the One. You stay in the shadow of the Almighty. You trust in Him. Next, please. So there's invincibility. And even in 6:39, and this is the will of Him who sent me, that I may lose none, all that He has given me, but raise them up at the last day. That's Jesus' words. I tell you something. I feel pretty good. All right. With COVID, with hitting deer, with, you know, flying, whatever, you know, old age coming, you know, the years just passing on faster and faster. I have this. I feel pretty invincible. Now, I'm not going to test God in it. You know, as Chris and I were saying yesterday, we're not climbing up on our roofs like as much as we used to. Maybe Jeff is still doing, but we're not. We're not, because we know we got some issues with that, right? Other people can go up high. You know, don't test them, but we know that we have with us. He has us. That's the most important part. Next, please. And then you got this 100% guarantee, okay? So you got the winning, you're victorious, you're invincible, you're immortal. You got these immortal bodies just waiting for us. Waiting for us. And Joey was kind of talking yesterday. It sounds like when we are taken up into heaven to meet Jesus in the sky, it sounds like we're actually going up in our bodies, our immortal bodies, to meet Him. It's not like nobody can't see it. I got a feeling everybody is going to see us rise up in these immortal bodies like Jesus had after His resurrection. I mean, it's interesting to think about. Insurance, well, sorry, Steve, yeah, insurance can only get us so far. I mean, we can put our money into it and stuff like that, but it, you know, something bigger might come, and even insurance company, they might run out of money. Sorry, can't help you. You know, and even then, you go to the, like I went to the eye doctor the other day, and they say, well, you have $40 copay. I'm going, what? I have insurance. Oh, but you still got to pay, right? It's kind of like Canadian medical too. Oh yeah, it's free. Nah, they pay for it because they pay a lot of taxes, a lot more than we do. So this insurance, and then there's assurance. And if you look on further here, it says this in verse 20. Jesus says, however, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you. So He's redirecting their focus now. but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice. Rejoice to know that your names are written in heaven. Next, please. The assurance. There's like that. The Holy Spirit is a deposit he puts in our hearts. We know we have that treasure, that inheritance. You know, he took the wind out of their sails when he mentioned that to them and started, you know, refocusing them. And in Deuteronomy, why did he do that? Well, in short, you can look this up in Deuteronomy 8. It says when they got all, Israelites got all fat and happy, they forgot how they got there. They forgot where all the good things came from. That's us. Things are running smooth and all that stuff. You ever been in a zone? I remember playing basketball and just kind of anything, anywhere I wanted to shoot the ball, I could shoot at any angle, any way. The ball would go into the hoop. I don't care if there's a big guy on me. I just go, and I go, ha, ha. And you know, you get in a zone, you're just going, yeah. And then, but you forget. You forget about all the people around you because I'm just shooting away. I'm not passing the ball. That I'm a team, you know. Here, they're forgetting that God is the one that's providing them all these good things. And they run into his troubles. Next, please. So he takes the wind out of sail for a reason. And Matthew 7, let me turn to that before you hear Matthew, if I can find Matthew. Where are you? Matthew 7. Whoops, I think I found it. Nope, I didn't. Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Oh, thank you for the nice music. Nice, it's a good intermission. Good intermission, actually, right there. That's very nice. Thank you. So I don't look so foolish. All right, from 21, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. And that doers is a big name, big thing. You can't please God by your works. You can't get into heaven by your works. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But I'm really not, because if I had to go by my works, I know I never would get into heaven. Okay? Never. Next, please. I love that robot. I don't know if you remember Lost in Space. Oh, love that stuff. I know. Shirley's laughing at me. All right. And a name. I know. Well, see it together. Yeah. Name written in heaven. So, you know, 2011 Revelation there. Let me jump back here. Revelation 20. 11:15, you can write that down if you want. You can look at it later too. It says, then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Wow. I want my name written in a book. I don't know about you. I don't want to face that fire. And I want to be assured that I we'll have my name written in that book in heaven. Next, please. So the joy of the Lord is our strength. And a lot of times I turn it around. I say the strength of the Lord is our joy. You know, I just feel like it goes both ways. You know, winning team, invincible authority given to us. Did you know that? Where does the authority come from? Me? You? It comes from Christ himself. His name is powerful. His name is what brings healing. His name is what delivers people from addictions. His name is what brings people out of the darkness and into the light. It's that authority that is in that name of Jesus. Authority above all other authority. We have that. He gave it to us. Remember Matthew 28? He gave us that authority to go and make disciples. We are not powerless. We are not without authority. So why do we walk like we are? A question for us all to answer moment to moment in our daily walk. 100% guarantee, when you are in Christ's hand, he'll never let you go. He'll never let you go. Though we may fail, he is faithful. Next, please. So is your name written in heaven? A question for all of us. Is your name, do you know that? Because if it's, you're kind of going, I'm not sure, well, then there's a way to be sure. You open your heart. You pray. You talk to God. Prayer is just talking to God, opening your heart to him. Ask him into your heart. Ask for forgiveness. Follow him. Seek him. Seek him in his word. Obey his word. That's all part of living for Christ. Next, please. And, you know, the confidence. A lot of people, even Christians, you know, and who have been Christians for, sometimes we're kind of going like this. I don't feel like I'm written in heaven. Well, you know what? You're right. Because, you know what? If there are angels in front of that gate to heaven or stand there, and you approach that, and they say, well, who are you? Why do you think you can come here? And if you say, well, I'm John Chase. I'm great. I'm invincible. I'm a winner. I call on the name of the Lord. And that guy will just go, see this sword? You're done. You're out of here. No, what you do is say this. Well, I'm nothing. I'm rubbish. And then angel says, well, how do you know to get in here? Or how are you going to get in here then? He says, by the grace of God alone. And he opens the gate. Yes, you answered correctly. By grace of God alone. You know, you notice it. You know that when you're following Christ, you start to notice things. You notice that you think differently about sin. Some of the things that you used to do, you just don't do anymore or think anymore. You know, that kind of changes in your life. You know, things start changing. You start to want to read the word more and even obey it. And you start to pray. You start talking to God more and more. And you start wanting to be with other Christians. Yeah, when you start having that type of hunger, then you know there's something in you. There's something more than you going on there. If you don't have that, then go back to the other side and pray. All right? If you don't have that hunger, that thirst, that joy of victory in your life, go back and pray. You know, God says now. Today is now. Now. Now do it. Don't wait till tomorrow. Now do it. Next, please. So your name written in heaven. You know, yeah, I've had my name written on the pad of the police officers a few times. And I tell you, I would debate each one. I almost wanted to go to court over a couple of those. Except for that. But, you know, instead of having our name written on the pad of the police officer, let's get your name written in heaven. You know, this is what it's about. But you have come to Mount Zion to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. Can you see that? I don't know when. Tomorrow? Now? I don't know. You might die. I might die real quick, or rapture happens, whatever happens. There's a time when we can come before the King of Kings. And he's going to have these books and that book of life. And you're going to want to hear your name spoken in that book of life. And what joy it'll be to see that. And we want to see many more join us in that joy. That's why we are given that duty of going out and telling people about Jesus. You know, we're not Jesus, but we can certainly lead them like a Philip led, you know, Nathaniel to Jesus. We can do that. We're not perfect. We're not going to know everything. All we have to do is just say his name, Jesus. You know, get to know Jesus. Read the word. Let's read it together. Let's talk to God together. You know, tell them your testimony of things you've seen changed in your life. The joy. Why do you have joy in your life? Or do you have joy? Why do you lack joy? But get real. Bring these people. We want to see billions of people before the throne hearing their name that written in the book of life. Next, please. Don't miss out. Let's pray. Father God, again, we come before you in awe of your word. We thank you that you are so gracious, so merciful. Thank you for your word that speaks to us and teaches us and guides us. Lord, put a fire in our hearts for things of you more and more, where we rearrange our lives so we can be with you more and we can be amongst your people more, and that we can be available to you, that we can be faithful, submissive, and teachable, and go forth and to draw others, lead others to you, connect others to you. For you, only you are the one that can bring us out of the dominion of darkness and into the kingdom of light, the Son you love, whom we have the redemption and forgiveness of sins. Thank you, Father, for this time in your word. Praise you in Jesus Christ's name, and all of his people say, amen. Amen.